chapter 6. We are looking at seeking and searching. That is the title of the messages in this Sunday morning series, seeking and searching. And over the last weeks, we've looked at why we're meant to seek. We've even looked at the blessings from seeking. And what we're going to do today is look at what we should seek first. It's incredible how Elaine had no idea what I was speaking on today, and yet the last song that we sang with the kids was "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God." You know, as we seek the Lord in our lives day by day, there are important habits that we can develop. We develop habits throughout our whole lives. Now, they didn't start off as habits. They just started off as us maybe doing something, and then that routine becomes a habit. And in the end, we can't stop doing it. So if we can form these habits that we do all the time in our everyday lives from a spiritual sense, then eventually those things will become habits. There are attitudes and actions we should avoid because they hurt our relationship with the Lord. And then there are certain things that we have to do as believers in order for us to live the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live. So one of the key traits that we should pursue consistently and constantly is that of righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But what does that mean? That righteousness not only means our relationship with the Father, but that means the way in which we act, the consideration of doing right in our lives every single day. You know, a lot of times as a society, we can become self-centered. We focus on ourselves. As long as I'm okay, it doesn't matter about everybody else. But Christianity is completely different because Christianity actually puts the needs of others sometimes before the needs of ourselves. So we're talking about our relationship to God and also our relationship to others as well. So if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and when we look at some other passages in that section as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Father, we thank you again for this time together today and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, we are so grateful for the fact that we have a copy of your word in our hands. Lord, we just pray that we would be able to use this, not only as the building blocks of our life, not only as the instruction book of our every day walk, but you would help us to use this to not only learn more about you, but to help us in the way in which we interact with others, the way in which we behave, the way in which we react, the way in which we talk, the way in which we witness, the way in which we shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that is stumbling around in the darkness. So, Father, would you help us to seek the first things first? Help us to seek righteousness first and foremost. And then we realize that there are things that you have promised to add into our lives as a result of us seeking you. So, Father, we just pray now that you'd speak to our hearts today. If there's anyone here that is struggling in their walk, if there's anyone here that is failing to put you first, if there's anyone here that is struggling to realize what it is that you would have them to do, then I pray that you would speak to their hearts today. Father, we ask that you would continue to lend your comfort and your peace and your presence to Norman's family at this time, Lord, and we just recognize the fact that as he celebrates this day in heaven, that it hurts because he's not here, but we just pray that you would comfort our hearts, knowing that you still seek to do that which is good in our lives. So Father, would you just bless our time together, we pray in Christ's name, amen. I don't know how many times you may have heard somebody say to you, right, first things first. If you've got a job to do, sometimes, you know, when the spring cleaning comes and Joe's like, right, we need to get things done. And I say, right, okay, Joe, one needs to be done. He says, right, first things first. Or maybe you've got a project that's going on and you're like, right, first things first. There are certain things you have to do first because it is pointless if you're doing the spring cleaning to put the Hoover through and then you move all the furniture about because then you need to put the Hoover over again. So first things first. And I think this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. Right, first things first. You want to know, we've talked about that we are to seek the Lord, we're to seek his face, and we said it'll find him, we're to search the scriptures. We've seen that, but it's almost as if the Lord comes to you and says, right, first things first. You know how to seek, you know the benefits from seeking, you know the blessings from seeking. Now I'm going to tell you what to seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I know that that sounds simple, but if we begin today and we consciously, continuously, constantly, consistently put first things first, we will realize and recognize God's blessings in our lives. So there's a formula to do all of this. What is that formula? First of all, we need to set the right priorities. Set the right priorities. Everything rises and falls right here. If our priorities are not in order, then we're just going to set ourselves up for failure. We prioritize loads of things every single day. You know, if you are in work, then there's obviously things that you prioritize. You've got maybe an in-tray and an out-tray, and the important things you prioritize and get them done first. Or sometimes, like if you're studying for exams, maybe you've got a system where you're like, right, I've struggled with this, so I'm going to prioritize this subject over that subject. Our everyday lives are built on prioritizing things. So why don't we do that in our spiritual walk? You know, we need to set proper priorities. You don't have to think about it. You don't even have to pray about it. You don't even have to be clever. You don't even have to be a theological expert, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already told us what our priority is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The word seek means to actively pursue, to go after. Can I tell you this? When I started dating Jo, she was so out of my league that I actively pursued her. I went after. I did everything I could to try and impress her so that she would end up falling for me. 26 years of marriage later, and she's still here. I don't know if that's because it's like, well, it's too late to do anything about it now, but, you know, at least, what do you say? Habit. Yeah. I actively pursued my wife, not realizing what type of mother-in-law I'd end up with. Seek ye first. I'll have words of you after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. To actively pursue, to go after. In order to seek the kingdom, obviously we have to seek the king. That's what's expected of us. You can't have a kingdom without a king. So the first priority in our lives ought to be to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to seek his face, to seek his person, to seek his personality, to seek what he likes, what he desires, what he wants from us. The Christian life is more than just accepting the Lord. It's about seeking him. You see, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and then a lot of us just stop there. But he wants us to know about him. He wants us to get to know him. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to spend time with him. How incredible that the Lord wants to spend as much time with me as he does with my mother-in-law. I know that doesn't make sense, because who would want to spend time with somebody like that? But the Lord does, because he loves. You know, God doesn't have favorites. I'm reminded of an argument Eve had with Jerry Stepp. Eve was only about 3 at the time. I think, was that for Rachel, 3 or 4? And Jerry, we were sat in Cracker Barrel, and Jerry was telling Eve that he was God's favorite. And he turned around to Eve and said, Eve, he said, David's the apple of God's eye, but I'm the orange. And Eve was like, what? He said, I'm God's favorite. No, Uncle Smalls, no. God's love the world. No, it doesn't matter, Eve. David's the apple, I'm the orange. I'm God's favorite. No, Uncle Smalls, God's love the world. And I'm watching these two there. I mean, Jerry at the time was probably about in his 40s. Eve is like 3 years of age. And I'm just watching these two arguing. Jerry's telling her that he's God's favorite. And Eve is like, no, God loves the whole world. Do you know, to this day, 17 years later, I cannot quote John 3:16 without going, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And every time I quote it in church, and Eve is here, she kind of looks up and goes, world. But that's the point. You know, God doesn't have favorites. He wants to spend as much time with me as he does with you. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to be in his presence. He might not have favorites, but he does have intimates, where the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. How incredible that it is that God has promised us if we seek him and search for him, we will find him if we search with all our hearts. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means putting the things of God first. That means putting the Father first. That means putting the Lord Jesus Christ first. If you look through the chapter 6, there's a few things that I want you to circle. In verse 30, you can circle faith if you don't mind marking your Bible. And then in verse 32, you can circle the word Father. And then in verse 33, you can circle the word first. And that sums up what we are to do. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It all starts with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Who are we trying to please? We're trying to please the Father. By doing what? By putting him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Faith is putting him first. Christ doesn't want a place in our lives. He doesn't even want prominence in our lives. Christ wants preeminence in our lives. He wants us to put him first. Why? Because he deserves it. Because that's his rightful place. He doesn't just want an hour on a Sunday from us. He doesn't want even 2 hours on a Sunday or 3 hours if you include a Bible study. He wants every waking moment of every day. He wants those first moments. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in being the runner-up in our lives. He's not interested in being a vice president in our corporation. He's not interested in being second in command in our army. He's not interested in being a flatmate in our two-bedder. He is interested in having the preeminence in our lives and being first. We're not only to seek the king, we ought to seek the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom literally means rule or reign. To seek the kingdom of God means to seek his rule in our lives, his reign in our lives. And when we ask ourselves the question, who has control of us? Do we base our decisions based on what would please him? Are our motives in everyday life based on what pleases the Father, or do we just kind of do whatever we think is right? Almost as if we're winging it, making it up as we go along. If it feels good, let's just go ahead and do it. If we're seeking his kingdom, if we're seeking the kingdom of God, if we're seeking his rule and reign over our lives, then there'll be a few things that we're seeking. First of all, we're seeking for the glory of the king. You know, we just had the Queen Elizabeth, after being the longest serving monarch that we've had, has passed away. And you look at all of that, like pomp and ceremony surrounding her funeral. But, you know, there were people there who were doing that because they loved serving the monarch. They loved, you know, being a part of that. And I think in our lives, whatever we do, we are to seek the glory of him, our monarch, our king, in our lives. We want him to be glorified. every part and parcel of our life, every minute and every moment of our time and every ounce of our strength, every muscle of our fiber, of our body, ought to be given for the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you can ask yourself this question. You know, when you come to fly off the handle, when you come to rage at somebody in the car because they've cut you up, when you come to argue with your loved one because you know they're in the wrong and but you don't want to necessarily stand out to be right. When you come to do that, ask yourself, does this glorify God? Oh yeah, well, you just don't understand. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up and the flesh takes over and we kind of get aggravated and we lash out, and of course we can control it. Would that bring glory to Him? The way in which we act, the way in which we react, the way in which we speak, the way in which we treat others, does that bring glory to God, or does that dishonor His name? A loyal subject will always do whatever the king would have him to do. Every morning of our lives ought to begin by asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? Just like Paul did on the road to Damascus, Lord, what would you have me to do? That ought to be our first prayer. Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? Lord, where is it that you want me to be today? Not only do we seek the glory of the king, but we seek the government of the king. A loyal subject desires to be controlled by the king, to be governed by the king, to be ruled by the king. God's will ought to be our will. Whatever God's will is for our lives, that ought to be what we desire to do. We ought to do whatever pleases Him. But sometimes I think we get our priorities wrong. Our priorities are mixed up and messed up. I recognize that all of us are busy. I get that. I recognize that sometimes we just start the day and we start with a rush. But we need to set the right priorities and to seek Him first. Not only do we need to seek the proper priorities, we need to seek personal purity. Because not only are we to seek His kingdom, we're also to seek His righteousness. Seek ye first the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're not only seeking God's control over us, we're also seeking God's character within us. The kingdom of God is not only to be inwardly experienced, it's to be outwardly expressed. So that when people see us, they see Christ in us. When people see us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming from our lives. When they see us, they see that light shining through. They see that love coming out. They don't see us as we once were. And for those who knew us before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to see a difference in us after we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's a change. Because you no longer talk the same. You no longer act the same. You no longer think the same. Faith is always seen by its fruit. Character is always seen by its conduct. Proverbs 20 verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. When we seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be able to see that kingdom within us. We're never going to make a difference in the world until the world sees a difference in us. Nietzsche, the German philosopher, was the philosophical founder of the Nazi movement in Germany. He was the first man in history to come to the conclusion that God is dead. He came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. And do you know what he said about Christians? He said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. I think Gandhi said something very similar. Where he said the only thing that put him off becoming a Christian was the Christian themselves. You know, what an indictment on us. How bad is that? The real mark of a Christian is that it makes him easier for others to believe in God. When people see us, they ought to see Christ. And we have to have a desire for it. We do what we really want to do. And I think we could all say that. We all do what we want to do. And if there's something that's important to us, we'll make the time for it. But we have to desire it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we have a desire to seek the Lord? Do we have a desire to live right? Do we have a desire to talk in a way that would be pleasing to him? Do we have a desire to think like he thinks? Do we have a desire for him to have the preeminence in our lives? We ought to desire it. We ought to desire to be right, to do right, to live right. Just as a hungry man would desire the nourishment of food or the quench for his thirst. We must desire it, but we must derive it. We are to seek his righteousness. God's not interested in our righteousness. Isaiah said our righteousness is as filthy rags. He's only interested in his righteousness. He's not interested in what you can do for him. He's interested in what he can do through you. Because that's God's design, is to work through us so that we can reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ. It'll be a great day when we learn the difference between self-righteousness and the Savior's righteousness. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our righteousness is not good enough. But it's his righteousness that needs to be seen through us. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness has to be imputed. It is not something we can work on in that regard. It's not something we can say, right, today now I'm going to be perfect. How many of you ever tried to do that as kids when you were told, if you're not good, you're going to have no luckies. Well, if you're not good, there'd be nothing there under the tree on the 25th of December. And you're like, oh, I've got to try and be good now. And you could never do it. It was impossible. Why? Because all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We've got nothing to produce in terms of purity or goodness. But righteousness has to be imputed. Corinthians says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By trusting Christ as our Savior, his righteousness, his goodness, his character is imputed to us, is added to us, indwells us. So it's there, but it depends whether or not it comes out to be on display all the time. We must depict it. We have to live it out. We ought to live like kingdom subjects. We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. Now, I always used to love giving pastors' children a lift home from church. Because they tell you everything. Kids are brilliant. You want to know something about a family? Ask the kids. Because they'll just tell you absolutely everything. And even when they get a bit older, they still tell you everything that goes on in the house. But we ought to live our lives in such a way that it wouldn't matter who found out. Because we're living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. If we set the right priorities and we seek that personal purity, then we will see a promised prosperity. Now the Lord says that if we do seek his kingdom, if we do seek his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Now what things was the Lord referring to? What was he talking about? Well, in verse 19, we are told that people worried about their finances. And the Lord said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. In verse 25, we were told that the people worried about food. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In verse 27, we're told that people worried about their health. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In verse 28, people worried about how they looked, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The Lord said that these things were things that we needed, because he said in verse 32, "For after all these things do Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." But the Lord promised that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then we will have all the things we need. You know, sometimes we can just take matters into our own hands, and that's where it comes down to then us having a lack of faith. And let's be honest, how many of us are stressing about what's going on in the world today. The cost of living is going through the roof. You know, you do shopping now and you think, well, I used to go and be able to, you know, do a weekly shop for whatever it was, 40, 50, 60 pound. And now it's like 100, 120, 150. It just, things have gone so expensive. Now we're asking ourselves, what do? Do I like put food on the table or do I put the heating on? And we worry about a whole host of things. And the Lord promised us, if you seek me first, you put me first, seek my face first, seek to do my will first, I'll take care of your needs. Now, our needs are different to our wants. There's a lot of things that we want, but there's only certain things that we need. You know, there's a few lessons that parents can teach their children early that would be a good lesson for us to learn. First of all, you don't need everything you want. You don't need everything you want. Do you know, if I had all the money back from the stuff that I'd wasted my money on, you know, and you're like, oh, I need to have that. No, you didn't. You know, all the people now who had record players back in the day and then they sold them all because they needed a CD player, they're kicking themselves now because record players are all back in fashion. Oh, but I need that CD player. Kids are like, what on earth is a CD player? I need that iPod. I need that new iPhone. And we don't. You know, my father-in-law was the funniest person with a phone. Because we had all these, like, these smartphones, and you know, he did all these things, and he just flipped this thing up, and he said, this makes calls. And that's it, I can't take a picture on it. Can't do anything, but it makes a call. We don't need everything we want. Second lesson is, we don't want everything you need. I never wanted to have a row off my parents. I didn't go out of my way to think, right, this will wind them up today. This will give me a good slap in now. I can't wait. I never wanted to have a row with my parents. But I needed them. Because I needed somebody to keep me, or try and keep me, not that they succeeded, to keep me on the straight and narrow. You know, we don't want everything we need. The third lesson is, God doesn't give us everything we want. And I'm glad that sometimes he answers our prayer with a no. Because he knows what we need. If we got what we wanted, we might not be in a good shape at all. So I'm glad that God doesn't give us everything we want. But the final lesson is, God always gives us what we need. My God is able to supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. There were two stores that were across the street from one another, highly competitive and always trying to get ahead. The manager of the one store came out one day and nailed a great big sign over the front of his store that said, "If you want it, we have it." The manager from the other store walked out and saw the sign, thought about it for a few moments, went back into his store, and a while later came out with a sign that he nailed over his store that said, "If we don't have it, you don't need it." I can tell you something right now, no matter what you think, if you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life, you don't need it. What the Lord is trying to teach us here is this. It's our job to serve God. It's his job to supply us. And now most people have it backwards. Most people think that it's our job to supply and God's job to serve us. But that's not how it works. In a real sense, we've been called to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. What would you do? Let me ask you this question. What would you do if somebody just wrote you a blank check and said, there you go, fill your boots? Where was the first place you'd go? How much of that would you spend? What would you spend it on? But can I say this, that in terms of what we need, God has given us a blank check and said, seek me first. Seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness, and I'll take care of your needs. I'll write you a blank check. But oftentimes we get our needs and our wants mixed up. What we need to do is put our priorities right. If our priority is right in seeking him, then our personal life will be right in reflecting him to a lost world. If that's right, then he'll prosper us in spiritual ways more than we could ever imagine. He's promised if we seek him first, he will take care of our needs. I don't know what your issues are today. I don't know where you are. I don't know what it is that you're worrying about. I don't know what it is that you're stressing about. I don't know what it is that's keeping you up at night, panicking. But can I say this? You need to give it to the Lord. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom first. Seek his righteousness first. And he'll take care of that. He can remove that worry. He can give us a peace that passes understanding. And let's be honest, there's a lot for us to worry about in the world today. We see the world is in an absolute mess. But God has already met that need because he's promised to come back and take us unto himself. So we don't need to worry what the world is going to be like. We worry about so many things. But the Lord says, child, just trust me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, we thank you again for this day together. We thank you for this time to come around your word. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to hearts today. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that is lying awake at night stressing and worrying about a whole host of things. But Father, I pray that as they seek your face first, that you would give them that peace that passes understanding. Father, maybe there are times we take matters into our own hands and we try to fix things because we think that there are things that we want and we go after them, and yet we fail to realize that the things we need are always provided by our Heavenly Father. So Father, would you just help us today? Would you help us in a way that would enable us then to be a help and a blessing to somebody else? Would you speak to our hearts in such a way that would give us a peace that we would have the inability to worry about these things, knowing that our Father is in control? So help us, Lord, from this day forward to put those priorities in place, to put you first, to seek you first. That's the first thing we do when we open our eyes in the morning, is to seek you, to talk to you, to ask for your help, to ask for your guidance, to ask you keep the promise of supplying all of those needs that we have. So Father, we just pray now that as we do this in our lives, we would see a difference. We would see a change. And as we draw nigh to you and we feel you then draw nigh unto us, we'll experience your peace and presence in our lives like we've never seen before. So Father, we just pray that you'd help us. Continue to speak to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Thank you. mind if Brother Andrew closes in a word of prayer? Thanks.
Then it is sad, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And we pray, Father, that we shall delight ourselves in thee to that extent that you mould our desires, you mould our ambitions. You said we cannot serve God and mammon. We will either hold to the one and despise the other. And we pray, Father, that life's problems, the material problems, shall never cause as to make the accumulation of wealth a priority, lest we despise the God who came to earth and died for us, that we might live for his glory. We thank you, Father, that the one who loved us, who made all things, became poor, that we through his poverty might know true riches. We pray again, Father, for the family of Norman. We thank you, Father, for the time that we got to know him at Bethany. And that even in weakness and in his last days, what a wonderful testimony he was. And we pray that tomorrow we will continue to know that sense of your presence, that the family shall know that you are the everlasting God whose arms are underneath and round about them, and that those who do not have Norman's faith shall come to that point where they put their trust in the one who has promised to provide for our material needs and also has promised us a home in glory if we put our trust in him. So we thank you, Father, for this morning, and pray that we shall continue to know that sense of your presence throughout the rest of this day, and that we might seek you first and glorify your name and be a blessing to those who we've been reminded are watching us day by day. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen.